Hello, this is Ed Curry from the Puck About Pepper Company, and you're listening to Verbal Shenanigans.
But our shenanigans are cheeky and fun.
Yeah, I mean, his shenanigans are cruel and tragic.
Which makes them not shenanigans at all, really.
Evil shenanigans.
I swear to God, I'll pistol whip the next guy that says shenanigans.
Everybody, welcome on back to Verbal Shenanigans. Yet another week of audible bliss, Mike. Audible bliss for, maybe each week I should take two adjectives like that. See if they come up with different descriptive ways to introduce the show. Today we're going to go with audible bliss. Welcome to Verbal Shenanigans, everybody. I am Scott. That is Mike. Hello.
Yes, I'm Mike Berlew, also known as Vocal Angst.
Vocal Angst, is that your rap name?
You know, I don't really like to talk about, you know, the blood I had out there on the street, so I don't want to really get into it.
Yeah, nothing says streets like Mike Berlew. Like, that's generally...
Clearly. Clearly.
But, guys, if you're just tuning in... Basically, I always like to sum it up a little bit. We are a weekly podcast. We've been back to weekly. We've been on a good streak lately. And I don't want to hear it, guys. We only miss 2 weeks every once in a while. That's not bad. That's not bad. Yeah. So stop giving me your crap.
We have a right to a life every once in a while. Not every week, but
yeah,
once in a while.
So stop blowing up our inboxes like, oh, when is the show going to be on? Oh, we miss you so much. Like, oh, I got to hang out with my stupid kids because I have no podcast to listen to. We don't want to hear it
anymore.
Listen,
I don't care if you're the Emperor of Canada. I got stuff to do. You miss a week.
That's it. But we are a weekly podcast. Every week we have an interesting guest on. We also talk life and play stupid games. We're kind of a potpourri of podcasts, if you will. But we've narrowed it down. We have a niche that we hit, I guess. But we don't have a niche as far as the podcast because I have way too much ADD to ever think it would be fun to talk about one topic or talk to one type of person. So last week was no different. Last week we had Cam Jansen on. A lot of people liked that episode. It was pretty cool. Cam Jansen was a Devils and Blues player who was basically a fourth liner, a goon.
The enforcer.
Yeah, really cool interview. So go check that out from last week. But welcome to the show. Berlew, how you been?
Not shabby there, Scotty. Life is pretty decent down here, you know?
Pretty decent.
Yeah.
That could mean anything.
What's that?
That could mean anything. That could mean okay. That could mean, you know, it's not exhilarating. Yeah. So pretty decent. You're riding the middle line.
Yeah, I mean, I haven't brought out any razor blades, but at the same time, I haven't sat back and said, well, I'm good, and let's retire. You know, kind of right there in the middle.
Speaking of Cam Jansen, I saw like a little meme that reminded me of you and Cam Jansen. How we were talking about if you could take him or not in a fight. So I thought something. This was more your speed rather than a professional hockey player who beat people up for a living. I wanted to ask you, this is different food mascots and whether you could take them or not.
Oh.
So I just wanted to run through these real quick and see who you think would be an easy fight and or who might take you.
All right.
Do you think how do you think you would fare against a Keebler elf?
I mean, I guess it's kind of, you know, that like thing where it's like if 10, 12-year-olds tried to beat you up, could you fend them off?
Right.
Well, I guess my question is the entire Keebler elf community clan coming after me? Is it like a Gulliver's Traveler kind of deal?
Let's just say one Keebler elf.
Going against, why not I just step on it?
Okay.
I mean, their cookies ain't that great. I can live with their angst.
All right.
If you will.
What about the Lucky Charms leprechaun?
That's interesting. He's got some magic going.
He's
there.
Also, mind you,
yeah, I mean,
he's Irish.
Yeah,
they love to fight.
True. I mean, he might have put some you know, whiskey in those Lucky Charms. Right. I mean, he's still short, though. I mean, if it's just a fisticuffs thing, I think I got him. If he's allowed to use any of his powers, it'll probably be like the Leprechaun movie. He'll kill me.
So you think just like weight class alone, you'll take him down?
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, he only comes up to, like, my waist, so.
Pillsbury Doughboy.
Hey, there'd be nothing to him. I mean, he's just literally can just stomp on him. What kind of powers could he really have?
But what if he just, you know, can eat all your punches, just like, it's just like hitting a heavy bag. You just.
Like, every time I punch him, he goes.
Yeah. What if he's taunting you the whole time?
I mean, I feel I'd be annoyed, but I'd still win on points in that scenario.
All right, what about the Gerber baby?
I don't think I want to be known as a guy who beat up the Gerber baby. I'd win by just forfeiting.
All right, well, let's step it up a notch. Let's step it up a notch then. All right. What about Colonel Sanders?
I got a feeling the real Colonel Sanders had, like, a nasty side to him.
No, that. How do you get that name Colonel? Was he an actual Colonel?
I'm not 100% with that. I mean, you guys can Google it, but, I mean, just, you know, that southern guy with that plantation. I feel he'd fight crooked, and I feel he'd have some dirty moves in there, and I just got a feeling he's been in a fight or two. Like,
all right.
Just late night, whiskeyed up and all, just saying, don't you talk about my secret herbs and spices, and just lays out people. So I think he might have some Connor in him.
What about Chef Boyardee?
He's just a fat ass. I take him. There is nothing to it. He's just a big fat guy with horrible raviolis.
All right, no contest. If we're talking body size, then what about the Kool-Aid man? Oof. Dude, he runs through walls.
I know.
Do you think you have enough to tip him over? Because I feel like that's his life juice in there, right? Like he can't be a big empty glass.
If you get him down, you win. I mean, it's that clear. If you can get a crack in that picture,
you remember?
You can take it.
Remember Mike Tyson's punch out? Like a bald bull, like he came charging at you, but if you got him in the stomach, you could be like, woo, 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 and stun him and then knock him out. Maybe that's what he's like. Maybe he's all, like, if he gets you, you're done, but if you can tip him over, he's got no chance.
Yeah, it's probably one of those where, like, maybe the first couple times and I'm like, damn it, he got me, you know, and it gets annoying, but then I just keep going at it, and eventually I'll get a win over him.
All right. The Trix Rabbit, pretty wily kind of guy, moves around a lot, but may not be the smartest guy. Doesn't he always get tricked by kids?
He just seems around? Like a crybaby. I think his whole life is revolved around that cereal. I think, like, literally he could be beating me up and he'd be infatuated with his own cereal that he can't eat because of kids, and I could just slap him in the face when he's not paying attention.
Is he still around? I can't even remember last time I saw the Trix.
I mean, he's still
on
the boxes. I haven't seen a Trix commercial in recent memory.
Mm. All right. Last two. Tony the Tiger. Oof. Tough competition. He's pretty jacked up.
He's got a deep voice. he's taller than all the kids in that commercial. He's kind of built. If he's got any of that real tiger blood in him, he'd slit my throat, so no, I don't think I can get him.
Like actual tiger blood or like Charlie Sheen tiger blood? Because if he's like an AIDS-infected tiger,
you might have...
Yeah, but
he's literally a tiger, so...
Oh, so not like Charlie Sheen, AIDS blood.
Yeah. Charlie Sheen would win just because I wouldn't want to touch him. So.
All right, last one, Green Giant. Woof. He might be top of the heap here.
I mean, maybe if I just, like, have his kid, that little Sprout kid kidnapped, maybe I can work out a deal where I'll throw the fight.
So more
that's
of
about
a,
the only way I could fathom
a backdoor kind of approach. You
yeah,
have, yeah,
yeah. Like It'd be like a good movie. Like all everybody's putting money on a giant, and then we got the fix going on.
All right, one more bonus one. How about the hamburger helper, the hand?
That'd be sad if I beat him up. Let's be honest. Can I do it? Yeah, but it's like, why would you? That might be lower than the Gerber baby.
But what? Like, if,
at least what the if he's Gerber baby is a swinging fist. Body.
What if he? But what if he's fierce? Like he's a giant fist flying at you the whole time.
Like, do you think he's like Thing from the Addams Family, where he's just like scurrying around and like kind of creepy under that glove?
I don't know, man. I don't know. I'm just thinking, what if he is like I said, like a giant, like your size, but he's a big fist. That might be, you know, he might go from goofy hand to all of a sudden being like fierce fist.
Like you just see something where in the ring and he bounces off the rope and a fist comes flying at my face.
Exactly. I mean, he might be one to not underestimate. He might be sneaky, but
I can't believe that's still made nowadays. I figure all these health nuts around, the hamburger helper and tuna helper, would be extinct by now.
I don't know, man. You go through the food store and there's still everything. There's still every microwavable meal, everything that – I feel like nothing ever goes completely away. Like you could still find it. I don't know.
I mean, TV dinners are still out there, so big you time. Might have a
Hungry
point.
Man, all them things. All right, Burles. So we found out over the years that you could you know, we saw who you could beat, who had who was 40 years older than you a couple years, episodes mm-hmm. back. Now what food mascots you think you can take. Who knows where this will take us?
My next one you can set up, I say sports mascots.
Okay. A lot of those guys are fierce, man. They get used to being messed with. I feel like they snap, it's over. It's over.
Mm. Well, the figurative mascot, not the actual person who's probably a lonely human being who will kill anybody for $5.
Speaking of fights, I feel like I never got to address this. This happened a couple weeks ago. A couple weeks ago, I had made a post on Facebook. Very, very simple. But it was when, like, Chappelle had come out and everybody's uproar about this and that. You know, that's how America is now. We're upset about everything. You know, anything that said, we can't shake it off. We have to go to social media and cry about it. And I have a theory on all that really not – like practically nobody is upset about these things. It's just the media sources and web pages that have to make stories out of nothing. Like there's no actual newspaper anymore. They just have to come up with something to make. So I made this really harmless post, or what I had thought was a harmless post. And I wrote, what is it like to actually be offended by a joke? Now let me say my thinking is, it didn't directly have to do with just Dave Chappelle, whose special was phenomenal, by the way. It had to do with just humor in general. Because if you are watching comedy or a show that is funny or a radio show that is funny, everything is done in the name of humor, right? Now sometimes it doesn't hit, sometimes it's not great, but to go home or to be so upset at someone's words and attempt to make a joke, it's all coming from a funny place, right? To be upset about it to a point where you want them canceled or fired or they're promoting hate speech is just completely absurd to me. It's just that was my post. Pretty harmless, if you ask me. Now, maybe you disagree. Mm-hmm. I don't know. But so, lo and behold, about 2 hours, maybe after I post, I get a post from a transgender friend of the show. I will say, who's been on the show many times, and all of a sudden, this goes into the complete opposite direction. But starts talking. Now, I had not named any actual comedy special or comic or anything like that, and right away goes into all of a sudden supporting the killing of transgender people and the you know how they are murdered because they the violence against them and everything. All of a sudden, it was like a 40-comment thread on this page, and I was accused of promoting hate speech, and that I was it was such a privileged post, which I found interesting. And then I was blocked before I could even make a counterpoint.
Hmm. Yeah, we both know the same person. I mean, I see both sides of the situation. I mean, in this case, I think they forgot to just have a conversation versus the let me attack part of it. But sure. I do see certain sides, as in groups don't want to be... It's not like being a part of a joke. It's where the literal punchline is the lifestyle, I guess. Like, if it just ends with blah, 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 and oh, no, it was a transgender. Ha, 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 ha. I can see their point where it's like, okay, come on. You know, I'm trying to live my life. We're still at a point where we're trying to integrate people. Like, people still don't understand that, you know, it's like how certain people bring up, they're like, oh, why are you talking about like segregation? And it's like, well, people still have grandparents that went through segregation. It hasn't been that long ago. So it's just weird how people just want to push it aside. But yeah, I mean, it's a tough call. I mean, it's like a I heard listening to like radio how they talk about, you know, it's not only just, you know, allow people to try it, do jokes. You know, you have to understand to be a really good comedian, it takes a long time to get to how a brilliant joke. It's yeah. not something you just like the first day you write down and it's like, ah, so crafted, got to the point, didn't see the twist, blah, 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 blah. That's hilarious and all. And people don't get sometimes a part of it is you're trying out stuff. And yep. sometimes it'll turn around and be like, bro, that ain't funny. Or that's kind of low. But you do have to allow some kind of freedoms to try out stuff. It's a delicate balance. And you better be brilliant at what you do if you're going to try to go that some kind of route where it's just like the ending is, and because of the agents, you know what I mean?
Yes, but let's dissect that a little bit. A lot of this is if you watch the special, he even goes on to explain because what this person referenced was some transgender jokes on Dave Chappelle's special, which I wasn't even completely referencing. But again, this is a comedian, so Joe, the punchline, it was more about him, how the whole community was upset by him and how he doesn't, you know, if you watch that special, there is not, I don't think there's a single person that is off the hook as far as being made fun of. And that's part of comedy, right? Being able to laugh at yourself, being included on the joke, being, you know, being in it. Now, there's different types of comedians. Obviously, Dave Chappelle is one that has always pushed it as far, you know, as it can go with some really brilliant thoughts and some really interesting ways on how to twist things. And but to right away start with your agenda and being like, so this person had a predestined agenda. Obviously, it was just waiting for them to spread this as far as soon as they had an opportunity, let me bombard you with my whole plight. And nobody was ever making fun of that. Everybody, you know, understand. But even people were messaging me from this thread just like, you know, what the hell was that? Like, what you're getting, what is all this coming towards you? You didn't say, you know, like, if you want to make, you just got to make sure something's funny. And if it's not, you have that right to not laugh at it. You have the right to be like, he's terrible. I also think with the advent of Netflix and all this comedy being put on the air, comedy was something you used to kind of have to seek out a little bit, right? You used to have to, you'd stay up to watch the HBO late night stuff or even Comedy Central late night, and you were a fan of comedy. Now I think it's being something that people know what they're getting with comedy, or going to comedy clubs or being at a show. Now all of a sudden it's thrust in them and it's right in their face, like, boom, new show. Oh, let me watch this. Like, and someone who's not used to comedy and knows the language of humor, that nothing that comes out of someone's mouth is ever 100% serious, right? When it comes to comedy, or should it be taken as that? It's not. They're taking these comedians, keyword comedians, word as gospel, and that they're really, you know, sometimes it's just saying something for a laugh, to get an audience to feel, to joke. It's very simple to, very easy to find someone who is spewing hate speech or just making a joke. But it's very scary to me when you get to a place in society, I guess, if you will, where we are, if we don't agree with something, automatically it's protest, fire, cancel, scream and yell about. And we see that obviously with every we see that with politics, we see that with everything nowadays. It's a pretty scary thing. Like, if Berlow's a comedian, he does not say exactly what fits into my agenda, and he says something out of the ordinary that maybe I don't find funny or disagree, I have to flip a lid and just go nuts about it.
Yeah, the cancel society is a tad crazy. I'm not sure if you did you hear about the guy with the Venmo account?
No.
On College Game Day?
No.
So here was the situation. So College Game Day, they go out to a local college before the game, have a huge pregame celebration. I mean, like, literally there's thousands of kids that come out to see them tape or do live the pregame show for the college games on ESPN. And as just kind of like a joke, a guy put up a sign that says, need Bush Light money, send to this Venmo account. Mm-hmm. And within a couple days, he literally said, he just did it as a joke. He wasn't looking for money. He got $1 million in a few days. Awesome. It's the most insane thing on earth. Like, at first, he got about, I think he said about $20,000. And he was so shocked and surprised that he's like, all right, I'm going to do right with this. He didn't keep the money. He gave it to some kind of charity. I forget which one off the top of my head, but basically, as people were giving, he was giving back to charities.
Yeah.
And it became a great story, a big story. And Coors Light was going, was it Coors Light or whatever the beer company was, they were actually going to make a can of his face and like sell the beer and have proceeds to go to charity. This is an amazing thing. So somebody decided to go Twitter searching, Twitter hunting. And apparently when he was about 6 years ago, which by the way, it puts him in like his 16 years old. They found a tweet that was offensive. And add to the weirdness of this, he wasn't making up. It wasn't like, I think XYZ about this group. He just used a line from Tosh.0. Jeez. But since they found it and it was offensive, and he even said, yeah, I was younger, I loved the show, maybe it's not the smartest thing, I apologize. The beer company just like, we can't be associated with this guy.
You're not allowed to apologize, Berlow, right? You have to be accountable for everything you've ever done in your life.
You either get 100 or a 0 on the test. Pick one.
You can't do anything like wrong. No,
and that's the saddest thing. It's like, he could have been an a-hole and kept all the money, and nobody would blame him.
Yeah.
I mean, if we did a simple joke and there's $1 million in my bank account, I'm sitting back saying, I could pay off my house with this kind of money and stuff like that. But he did the honorable thing, knowing he wasn't coming for money, and he gave it all away. But still, in the end, he's a bad person. Yeah, and that's kind of thing. It's kind of a different conversation than what you're talking about. But going back to that person, I kind of had the same thing where on my Instagram, I out of the blue, I won a gift certificate and like a small, tiny little trophy at my work. And all they were doing Oscar picks.
Uh-huh.
And I got lucky and I won. It was like the smallest little tiny thing. And I'm like, woo, I don't know anything about movies, but it pays.
Right.
And then the first thing that person commented on my Instagram was F Chick-fil-A. Because that's where I got $10 gift certificate from.
Yep. Got it.
It was just like, I mean, I understand. I'm not going to sit back and go, yeah, but wait a minute, Chick-fil-A is so good. I mean, they're kind of known for giving the anti-gay. But at the same time, it's kind of like, you really need to publish this online?
Yeah, and, of course. You got to push your agenda, bro. All the time, every day, all the time. You gotta have your agenda ready to go. So any little thing that you could squeeze it into, you just gotta blast it on somebody's thing, or figure out a way to, you know, we the people who do this are definitely the people who have the most skeletons in their closet, guaranteed. You know, because it's just, you see with Shane Gillis recently with you know, with Saturday Night Live, and it's just over and over again. And every time I think the pendulum's swinging back the other way, like, because everyone you talk to, right, every single person you talk to is kind of on the same page, like, enough with this being offended by everything, you know, everybody hates each other because they disagree. All of a sudden, everyone's saying, you know, they're tired of it, and then it's, another story comes out, like, a lot of times things done in humor are not always... They're done in the attempt to be funny. Is it always funny? No. And also, sometimes the context they're in changes over the years. You know, like, it was funny at the time. Maybe it's not funny anymore. It's just...
Yeah,
it's just,
I mean, that's one thing that doesn't get any kind of pushback, where it's like, all right, we can sit back and say, this is pretty bad now, but understand, maybe don't promote it, but... 6 years ago, people didn't have this opinion. They thought it was
awareness.
Regular...
Maybe they didn't have the awareness of something, or they changed opinions. You know, God forbid. Yeah. I'm a very different person, Mike, than I was when I was 18 years old. You know, like, I night and day. But it's like, God, I'm sure I did some really stupid stuff back then too. Yeah. You know, like, it's just so stupid, man.
Well, going back to like one of a different guest, and all, which is a story we all kind of laughed at. If you were Aisha Ash, she, when I went out to her to see, hey, can you, would you be interested in joining our podcast? And she wanted to have a talk. She brought up an episode that was 2.5 years old that we literally looked at each other like, wait a minute, that's the one you listen to kind of moments? But I mean, she kind of laughed it out. Like, we were just doing. Some rip. If I recall, it was like some priest was saying that all women are sinners and men are not sinners for having sex with women. It was something kind of concept with that. And Scott just riffed on it. It's like, I agree. And we just kept going with it.
Yeah.
And it was kind of funny, you know. Like, I remember listening back. I'm like, oh, yeah, this is kind of our old school stuff. But, you know, it's just the basis of. You just got to look at a situation and go, okay, are you going to take the person for what they are now? Or are you going to just sit back and say, well, I don't appreciate it, ergo,
yeah,
I got to hate you forever.
It's like there's a world of difference between a joke and acts of violence on someone. And hate, if you don't understand that, if you're not maybe comedy is also not for you. Like, going to see some of these guys, just don't watch it. Don't, you know, but to say it's terrible and this and that, when everybody and their mother saw the special and loved it, you know, like, it, or it's just, I don't know. And this is from a person who I have not done nothing but support. In fact, brought on the show dozens of times, maybe, or close to it, to talk about transgender rights and talk about the transition one. So, I mean, we'll probably have him on again, but it's just very, very upsetting to see, like, okay, your art is allowed, but somebody else's art is not, you know, because it doesn't align exactly into your belief system. So this is just a dangerous road where we're on all over the frigging country. But it's funny, if it was a movie, if it's a movie we all gather around to watch, a killer clown murder children and this and that, and no one says anything, but it comes out of a comedian's mouth, and it's taken seriously, where they're actually a comedian. You should know going in, nothing serious, but if it's a movie, we could all suspend belief and be like, oh, it's just a movie. I don't get it. I'll never get it. I think it's got to change eventually, but who knows if it will. I don't know. But I will.
But to give a point to the other side quickly, I'll give an example, and you'll remember this one, just to kind of show sometimes you got to hold back. So, Scott, I remember one time, Scott, you were playing around with a bit for your stand-up set, and you were, spitballing with me, and I'll say another comedian.
Yep.
And then during the spitballing, this other comedian actually thought it'd be hilarious if one of the punchlines was accidental molestation of one of your nieces, if I recall.
Yeah.
Those are the kind of moments where it's like, all right, no matter what time of year, no matter how many centuries we live, don't make that joke.
But it was also, the point is that it wasn't funny, though. Like, it wasn't presented in a funny way. It wasn't clever. It was just stupid, really, is what it came down to.
Yeah.
It was more stupid than anything. So, yeah, offensive. But offensive can be funny if it's done correctly. I mean, we can go over 4,000 examples. I'm not going to because it's time to segue to our guest. But I don't like to get on my high horse or anything because I don't really believe in much. But the only thing I really do believe is, like, you got to let artists be artists, and you got to let people you disagree with talk, and you got to be able to see through things, man, or shut someone off, or choose what you like and understand that there's varying points out there. It's not, I can't tell you what I believe in half the time because I change my mind so much. Like, but when you're looking, when you're watching comedy, and I'll defend comedy to the end, 99% of the time it's done with the attempt of being funny. Like Patrice said, you don't know funny. Sometimes people don't know funny. They enter a world that they maybe don't understand completely, but even if it's a bad joke and it bombs and it didn't go the way, the attempt behind it was funny. Whereas someone making actual hate speech, their attempt is hatred, you know? Like, it's very, very, very different. And to ever combine those two and confuse the two, very dangerous habit, or a very dangerous thing to let yourself fall for. I think it's very stupid. But Berlo, on that note, let's shift gears and go to something completely different. I think our guest tonight will really change this mood up. Who we got?
I like to call this the interview part of the show. I've been toying with phrases, but that's the best one I've come up with.
Very unique. I know you've been working on that for a while. I'm glad the unveil is finally out there. People have been asking.
Yeah, I mean, I read the dictionary, and it took me a few months to get to the letter I, so that's why it took so long.
Well, people have been, hitting us up online over and over again, like, well, when is he going to finally name the segment? When is he going to name the segment? And I've been like, I don't know. I don't push Berlo. He works at his own pace. When he wants to go, he's ready, and that's it. We don't go.
I'm like, listen, I'm on the letter K and I'm not seeing anything, so you just sit back and relax. Let me do my work.
Right. So who we got?
Well, as you know, Scott, our show has strived for finding record holders and world record holders. We have talked to the world's heaviest sportswoman, Sharon Alexander. We have talked to the tallest person in the U.S., Igor Volkovinsky, and the world's fastest backward mile runner in Aaron Yoder. Tonight, we're going to be talking to Smoking Ed Curry, who is the owner of Puckerbutt Pepper Company and is credited for growing the world's hottest pepper, Pepper X, which is estimated to be over 3 million on the Scoville scale. His peppers are used for the sauces on the popular internet show Hot Ones.
Love that
show. We're going to be chatting with him tonight on his company and what's it take to burn somebody's rear end with his peppers.
My particular favorite episode of that one is with Joey Diaz. he's talking about, like, he's getting he's doing one of the hot sauces and he, like, starts sneezing and he's like, oh, he's like, I think I just sneezed at an old crack rock from my nose. But great show. So all right, let's get Let's get Bill. Ed, sorry, I almost called him Bill. Ed on the line.
Good evening.
How's it going, Ed?
Hey, I'm on fire right now.
Yeah, you texted me you had some of your peppers out there on the plates and all. You, is that an every night routine for you or just special occasions?
No, it's an every night routine. My wife calls me an idiot.
I think all wives
now,
call their husbands.
Is the pepper eating or your wife calling you an idiot a daily thing?
Both.
So, Ed, I mean, we really appreciate you coming on to the show. I mean, we, you know, we're going over all the peppers that you have at your company, Puckerbud, but let's kind of get to, like, the early crats of your company and what you've been up to. I mean, when you were younger, were you always into, like, doing gardening and items like that, or did this come about later on in life?
Oh, no, I've been doing gardening since I was a little kid. My mother was a master gardener, so we always worked outside. But I've been breeding different vegetation for a long time. I really started getting into peppers in about 1981. But I was into a lot of other things, too, at that point.
Now, did you have the typical the kid palate where, you know, spicy was really hard to do, or were you always into spice?
No, I was a drug addict and an alcoholic from a very young age. The minute I got a hit of some really hot stuff, I was ready. I was hooked from minute one.
I mean, that's an interesting part of the story. Like, so you were kind of like moved on. And I remember in interviews you talk about how you were addicted to drugs and alcohol, and there was a time that that you almost ended your life and all. Can you tell us a little bit about the your kind of low and how it brought you up?
Yeah, well, you know, I had gotten to the point where I didn't want to live anymore, and I decided I was going to kill myself by using too much. Essentially, I just wanted to die. I didn't really think about killing myself. I just knew what I was doing would kill me. Essentially, I saw an angel. That angel told me to go to a place. It turned out to be a rehab hospital. And once my head was clear and, you know, I had sober thought, I got right back into peppers again.
And that was during, from what I heard in the interview, during a snowstorm, right?
Yeah, it was during a blizzard in 1999 in Michigan. We had been getting snow for quite a few weeks straight, and it was very, very cold. And I drove out in that, searching for the place the angel told me to go in a Camaro RS, full of drugs and alcohol and guns, and looking for the place I needed to go. It turned out to be a rehab. Yeah.
Now, when you actually describe seeing an angel, like, is it actually a visual thing, or is it a feeling, or is it
No, it was a visual apparition. I mean, there was snow inside my condo, and there were no footprints, okay? And this thing was, you know, I call it an angel. Whatever it was telling me that I needed to stop what I was doing and change my life, and that would happen out at Brighton Hospital. And at the time, you know, we really didn't have the internet. You know, I don't know how old you are, but we used to have these things called payphones and phone books and stuff.
Oh, yeah.
And I couldn't find it anywhere in any piece I tried. And finally, a friend who I knew who was near a town called Brighton said that she knew where the sign was and took me to where the sign was, and that changed my life.
So how long were you in rehab for, and how long did it take you to kind of figure out what you were going to do when you left?
Well, I was actually there for 2.5 years.
Wow.
I committed myself to recovery so that I, you know, wouldn't turn back. And then during that time started doing my thing again, you know. And then I moved down here to South Carolina and started the business again.
So when you start really diving deep into growing hotter peppers or seeing how hot, what is, like, how does one get into trying to, like, to almost like keep topping the one pepper after the next? What is the strategy behind that for us simpletons? Like how do you make a pepper hotter over time?
Well, essentially it involves crossbreeding. And what you do is you look for two pieces of fruit that have various traits that you're looking for. Mm-hmm. The start of my journey was the medicinal side. I was looking for, there's a subcapsulinoid that has a key on it that when you get it to a cancer cell, it causes an autoimmune sequence that kills the cell. So what I was looking for was desirable fruit that had higher quantities of those subcapsulinoids. So I wasn't looking to breed the hottest pepper in the world when it happened. But essentially you take two pieces of fruit that have the thing that you're looking for. You get the flowers off those plants and you crossbreed by pollination. And sometimes it works, sometimes it doesn't. But this time it worked. And that started a journey of breeding hotter and hotter and hotter. And the hotter and hotter comes from raising those capsulinoid levels, not from any real crapshoot type thing. This is specifically looking for attributes that we need to raise capsulinoid levels.
And this is a rather long process to get these peppers to come through.
Yeah, it takes 8 to 10 years just to get a crossbreed stabilized. And then it takes another 15 years to turn it into cultivar, or 25 years to turn it into an heirloom. So it's a long process, very long process.
So when you're doing it, how do you get a sign that it's like, okay, we're moving in the right direction and this is going to lead to what I'm looking for?
Well, usually that starts with me or one of my staff taking a bite, you know, and deciding, does it taste good? One, because if it tastes good, we might be able to use it for commercial reasons. Is it hot? Two, usually the answer is yes. And three, did it knock you to your knees and make you puke? And for a lot of times, that's the answer, too. And we start with the real scientists, not you know, just our staff, but we start with real scientists in universities, usually on the first generation, to decide that is that something worth pursuing or not.
Is that like a prerequisite to work for you guys? You need to be able to take extremely hot peppers?
We heard everybody at work. We started some new people last week, and they've already been dropped. that's everybody goes down. That's just the way it is.
When you're farming something like this, I mean, what kind of special like safety things do you have to do to make sure nobody like burns their eye out or anything like that?
All that is internet myth. What's happening, what we perceive as heat, is a chemical reaction with a nerve receptor. There's no actual heat. You cannot damage yourself unless you have a predisposition to allergies to nightshades. It's all a temporary sensation that's causing pain. And your brain perceives it as pain. There's no actual pain going on either, except for when you get cramps. No one can burn their eyes out or burn a hole in their esophagus or burn out their taste buds. That's all internet garbage. The real science says it's going to last 20 to 40 minutes and it'll go away. That's why the police and military use pepper spray, because they know that there's no permanent damage. In the fields, we don't do anything. The guys picking wear rubber gloves because after a few hours, your hands are so hot, if you touch something high or low, it's not very pleasant. Other than that, there's no requirements. It's just like farming any other vegetable or fruit. You know, we're the largest organic hot pepper farmers in the United States that we know of here in the state of South Carolina, probably in the world. And by hot, I mean peppers over a million Scoville heat units. So there's, you know, we harvest a lot of stuff. No one wears any special gear.
So how did your business model change once you realized you had the world record for the hottest pepper?
Actually, the business model didn't change. What changed was my attitude. And it wasn't, it was more of a humbling experience than an egotistical experience. So, I used to, before we got the record, I used to participate in the nonsense that goes on online. And, I really was, driven by people that, when someone said that can't be true, I was driven by it, proving them wrong. And now it really doesn't matter. What matters is the success of our business, my family, and my friends who all work for me, and that we're all taken care of, you know, and then taking the leftover and doing good in the community. You know, that's about it.
Now,
honestly.
Now, do you, when you go home and you cook a meal for yourself, are you always eating hot stuff, or are you,
Yeah, it's kind of funny because we eat anywhere between, say, 4 and 10 peppers at any given meal. And we don't eat them whole. We slice them up into chunks and right. then eat them with our food. Like I had to tell you guys, give me 10 minutes because I was on fire. All right. But we were trying out new peppers that turned out to be a lot hotter than we thought they were going to be. But yes, every meal has peppers and hot sauce in it, maybe even pepper powder. And my freezers here at the house are full of frozen peppers to carry me over through the wintertime in case our winter plants die. You know, because I'm an addict and I found my new dope, and this is, I don't want to run out, you know. You know,
yeah.
That's the God's honest truth.
That's funny.
Yeah, when you're growing these so hot, can you still grow where you can add, I guess, lack of a better term, is there flavor along with the heat?
Every pepper has its own unique flavor. There are some that are just horrible. Like, we call one of them the turd. Because it's so freaking hot, and it tastes like crap. Okay. But it makes really good hot sauce. It makes really good hot sauce when you mix it with other spices and stuff.
Right.
So everything has its own attributes, but most of the peppers we breed are super sweet. Like people who eat the Smokinette's Carolina Reaper, the one that I got the Guinness World Record for, they all say, wow, it's a sweet taste. And then they go, oh, crap, what did I do? You know, I got a charcoal briquette stuck in my throat. I can't get it out, you know. But they always comment on the flavor before the heat hits, you know. So you got to have flavor, or else it's useless. Hmm. I can't, you know, there's no one in the world. We supply a lot of large companies, okay, major manufacturers. No one's going to buy a turd from me, okay? We got to come up with stuff that they can really use in their products. Hmm. Does that make sense?
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
Speaking of products, I obviously learned how we came about to find you and learn about you is from the internet show Hot Ones. I'm kind of curious, did the show start and you heard about it, or did they contact you beforehand? How did this relationship get together?
When they first started, a friend of mine gave me a call and said, hey, this new show's coming on. They need fresh peppers, and you're the only one in the country with fresh peppers right now. Can you send some? And I sent them some really nasty stuff, and it lit them up, and everybody was throwing up, and they, you know, they got a hold of me, and I've been supplying peppers ever since to them. I mean, like last season we had, I make the classic sauce, which is their mildest. I make the last dab, which is their hottest. We also had the chocolate plague on it. But 5 of the other sauces in the lineup all use our peppers. We sell pepper nice. Mash to the other manufacturers. And it's not about, you know, oh, I want my sauce on there. It's I send out more I don't care who's on the show. I think we all need to succeed.
Right.
Okay. So when they call me up and say, we really like this manufacturer, he's going to make this sauce for us, can you supply the peppers? I say, of course. Okay. Because everybody needs the chance to succeed, and all boats rise with the rising tide, you know?
Yeah.
So it's a very win-win symbiotic relationship I have with the two teams over there. And they're awesome people. People don't really know how down-to-earth and awesome they really are. Yeah.
Now, your business is the focus. Like, I guess I can't say the focus, but is the main goal hot sauces, or is it the peppers themselves, or is it a combination of everything?
Oh no, we actually have we have multiple lines, most of which the general public doesn't know about. You know, our forward facing line is obviously the Pucker Butt Pepper Company hot sauce line.
Right.
We supply manufacturers with pepper mash and powder and fresh peppers, and we do R&D with all sorts of groups, from medical to military to we're doing a lot of stuff over here. It's not just growing peppers for hot sauce.
Well, there's a lot of stuff on the news about how some of the farmers are getting affected by trade wars going on and stuff like that. I'm just kind of curious, is that hit you in any way, or do you know of anybody that's going through that right now, and your thoughts on everything?
Well, really, the trade wars aren't affecting us much. Most of the products that are made overseas are because of the food laws come in salted and fermented to kill anything that could possibly be growing. It's essentially a poison. When it gets here, and then they mix it down to make it okay to eat. Okay, we do a totally different thing, so we don't compete with anybody from coming in from overseas. So it hasn't really affected me, and I actually have collaborations with people in New Zealand and in Canada and in Europe, and those really haven't been affected by the trade war because it doesn't have to do with our segment of the industry. Now, I will tell you, I got some equipment from a U.S. manufacturer that happened to be made in China, and it took three times as long to get here, and the tariffs on it were, and taxes were almost as much as the equipment. Mm-hmm. So that did affect me, but I, that's where the U.S. manufacturers are making their stuff now. So it's kind of, for someone like me, it's, who has to expand. I expanded five times this year. I'm going to expand 10 times next year. For someone like me, that part affects me, but it doesn't affect my crop, if that makes any sense.
No, for sure.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah. I tried buying American and it came from China. Go figure.
Yeah. Now, out of curiosity, being organic, have you guys ever noticed a little like bug or anything like that trying to nibble on one of your peppers and all, and just watch the results there?
Oh yeah, we get bugs all the time. See, I use things like ladybugs, praying mantis, lace wings, parasitic wasps, that kind of thing to combat the bugs. But we get worms in our peppers all the time, because it's just farming. That's what happens. It's right. Agriculture. So we literally spent every single crate of peppers that comes in, and last week was somewhere around 20,000 pounds.
That's it.
We inspect every single pepper looking for those things. And let me tell you, those worms have no heat receptors on them, so they don't mind boring into a pepper. And I've eaten one, and the little sucker is hot. Okay. I think I have a new market for liquor bottles for that.
Hot worm tequila?
Yeah, hot worm tequila, whatever it is. But we don't, honestly, because of the amount of predatory insects we release, we don't really see that high a volume of, insect damage. Out of every 1,000 pounds, maybe 2 or 3 pounds. So it's really not much.
Oh, nice.
Yeah. Yeah.
Now, ever in your wildest dreams, did you picture, paying the rent and making a living off of just growing peppers, or was this something that kind of took you by surprise after this whole experience kind of took off?
When my wife figured out that we had given away $35,000 worth of products and said, I'm going to go sell this, I told her no one's going to buy it.
Wow.
Okay. And she proved me wrong. And ever since then, I can't, every day is just a new, amazing, miraculous thing happens that just proves to me that there's no way, the only way we're not going to succeed is if I mess it up, right? Because this market has just expanded beyond belief. And I got so many orders in last year, I had to turn away about 80% of them.
Wow.
Okay. Because I didn't have the room to grow. And I expanded 5 times what I was. And we're going to try doing 10 times that this year so we can take on those orders and help others succeed. But we had to get it right this year with the expansion so that we can do it right next year with a bigger expansion.
Awesome.
You know? Yeah.
Is it true that when you released Pepper X and you got the world record again, that for what I heard in a different interview, that you held back on some others, that if it wasn't the hottest, you had some in the back ready to beat that record?
Yeah, we've got much hotter peppers. Right now, the Smoking Nets Carolina Reaper is still the hottest in the world. We certified it at a low average, recertified it at a low average of 1.642 million. We just got back data that has coming in at 3 million. I have not released Pepper X to the world other than in a hot sauce for the show Hot Ones. And I've given my word to my friends that I will not release it until they're done using it. We can get, no matter what happens, say if someone came in and got a record for 2 million, I can turn around and get one for 2.2. You know, if they get one for 2.5, I'll do 2.7 just to beat them. Okay? Because we have so many in the lineup that are hotter than the Reaper, and the Reaper's actually hotter than what we've got out there right now. So it's the sky's the limit. We probably have 30 to 40 different peppers that are much hotter now.
Wow.
But there's no reason to shoot myself in the foot. We're getting more and more orders for the Carolina Reaper every single year.
Absolutely.
If I release Pepper X upon the world and unleash its power everywhere, it's going to take another 3 years to build that marketplace back up. Do you see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Exactly.
What is the actual way to fight off the burn of a pepper? What is the best way to do it?
In your mouth, the best way I have found is lemon or lime juice. Okay,
lemon
grapefruit
or lime.
Juice.
All right.
Yeah. And that's we find about 50% of the people that we give it to get relief and faster than they would otherwise. You know, drinking milk, eating ice cream, all that stuff, all that happens is you throw up. It's all over the place, and you say, oh, that pepper made me sick, when it's the huge amounts of carbohydrates that you just put into your body trying to cool it down. You know, a lot of people will say stuff like sugar helps. I can't find any science that will say sugar helps other than, the effect it has on the taste buds is, momentary. So if you keep on eating sugar, you're going to wind up doing the same thing as with milk. Really, from a science point of view, the only thing that's going to help is time, 20 to 40 minutes.
Wow.
Okay. There's products out there that say they wash capsaicinoids off your hands. You know what the best thing I've ever found to get, you know, the heat off my hands, the oils off my hands, is make some mud and wash my hands in mud, not in soap and water. It seems to work the best.
No.
But it's just binding with, there's the capsaicin's in an oil. So
right.
It's just getting the oil off your skin.
Now,
there is a product out there. It's a blue in color. It's made with walnut shells. Seems to work really well too.
Huh. Now, have you like the average person? You said 20 to 40 minutes. Now, like, have you built up a tolerance where it wears off quicker for you, or is yours still that long too?
Well, no. What I'm doing is eating stuff that's probably 10 times hotter than what the normal person is eating on a regular basis. Everything that happens to them still happens to me. But what happens to me also is capsaicin fills the dopamine receptors in your brain, just like a narcotic does, and releases huge amounts of endorphin and dopamine. So I get a good buzz off of it, and that buzz overtakes the heat. It overtakes the pain. It's the truth.
Wow.
That's why you see, like, people die, and they're like, I can't believe I did that. All of a sudden, they get a smile on their face, and they go, let me have another bite of that, you know? And it's because they're high, and they don't realize what they're doing. They think, oh, I could handle that, but they're still hot as blazes. If they went and kissed their partner, they get punched in the mouth, you know, because it's still really that hot. They've just got a little buzz going, and they don't realize how hot it truly is.
Do you get more enjoyment watching people like just freaking out eating the hot pepper, or do you get more respect when somebody bites in and go, oh, that ain't bad?
You know, there's a lot of people who bite in and go, oh, that ain't bad. And then we see them, you know, they keep their poker face going for about 5 minutes, and then they run to the ice cream store, okay? And we watch them go and get milkshakes looking out the window, all right? It's the funniest thing in the world. The person who admits what's actually going on in their lives, you know, I always say, are you feeling a little emotional, you know? And they're like, yeah. Because, you know, someone says, oh, that's not so bad, but their eyes are watering and snot's pouring out their nose, you know. They're just, you know, trying to be big shots, and it's okay to let your emotions show. Everybody's getting burned. If you're not getting burned, you were born without the nerve receptors we perceive that lets us perceive heat, or you're taking some heart medications that kill those receptors.
I mean, we really appreciate the time you gave us tonight. If people want to learn more about your company or buy some peppers from you, where can they go?
www.puckerbuttpeppercompany.com.
That's awesome.
Yeah. And I guess on the final question, seeing the Hot One show and working with them, is there a celebrity out there you've been begging them, you got to get them on the show that you want to see eating your sauce?
You know, I think that everybody deserves to have a chance on that, but I really, really, really do think it'd be funny as hell to put someone like Howie Mandel up there, you know, who's got all those phobias and stuff.
That's true.
Him going, yeah. See, everybody out there is a good that they've had on there are really like out. They don't have any introverts. They have all extroverts on the show. I think it's time to have some introverts on there and let's see them expose their true selves, you know? Or let me on there to hurt one of the people who can take it, you know?
I think they should bring like all the Democrats and have the debate style with Hot One.
You know, that would be a lot of fun, but you know, whatever side of the aisle you're on, okay? I have friends on both sides of the aisle, mm-hmm. up in Congress and in the Senate.
Of course.
And because they come to my store and they eat hot sauce, okay? And they literally, on the campaign trail is a lot of fun because they come in and they get stuff and they light up just like anybody else. You know, when you're talking about food, that's when people become their real selves, not the ones you see on TV.
That's what I'm saying. A Democratic debate with Hot.
Just give me 10 minutes with those guys. We'll see who they really are, you know?
That's awesome.
It is awesome.
Ed, thanks so much for coming on, man. We really appreciate it. And good luck with the growth of the company and all the new products you got coming out and breaking world records and whatever else you're doing in the world of peppers. It's really cool to talk to you, man.
It's great. It's truly an honor. I really appreciate you guys reaching out. If there's anything I can do, just let me know.
All right, brother. Who knew growing peppers could be a cure to addiction? It could be who knows how much he makes, but a very successful business. Really interesting interview.
I mean,
let's think about like the stuff we talked about. I mean, we've talked to a person who runs 200-mile events to not do drugs.
Oh, yeah.
We've had a few people on drugs. We probably caused Novak. A few people to take drugs, but
we had Brandon Novak from Jackass, who
who
he still posts online that he's sober, so it's really good to see. We've had a lot of ex drug addicts on the show, or I don't know if you're ex drug addict if you were not, or are you a drug addict if you're in recovery still? Do you still call yourself a drug addict? A lot of people say I'm an addict, so maybe. I don't know. Anyway.
I guess it's an interesting question. I mean, by rule, you're always an alcoholic if you're an alcoholic.
Right.
You're sober for a amount of time, you're always an alcoholic. But
yeah, like, can you say I'm no longer an addict if you stop something for a period of time? Or are you always an addict? We got to talk to some of our recovery friends.
Yeah. We'll just bring them on and ask them the one question and go, okay, drogie, leave.
Enough of you, addict boy.
Stop calling me that. I was at your wedding, for God's sakes.
Shut up, Dad. But yeah, that was a good interview. I liked it. Who you got, bro? What do you got? What do you got? What do you got? What you been up to?
Well, I forgot to tell you about this. We talked offline, but a couple weeks ago, I came to watch a Confederate laser light show.
Confederate
down here in Georgia.
Laser light show. Now, I don't even know where to start with that. I know we talked about it a little bit. I'm thinking, like, is it a bunch of people waving the Confederate flag, watching like a light show, to things that were like just Confederate themed? Is it just the word Confederate that's being misconstrued here, and it's just a normal light show? Is it a light show that shows like holograms of like General Lee like winning the Civil War? Like, is it really offensive and different? What are we looking at?
Well, let me start. So since I've been down here, my parents have told me about the show. It's at in Stone Mountain, Georgia. It's a big mountain on the eastern side, northeastern side of Georgia. And basically in the mountain, they have carved into the mountain like four soldiers on horseback. I don't know if it's exactly like specifically like General Lee or somebody specific to Southern culture, but they have four carved out figures in this mountain. It's a big mountain. It's about a mile and a half to get up to the top. I don't mean Izzy ran up it, but at night times on Saturdays, they produce like this laser show off of the mountain where the carvings are at.
Okay.
And I keep on hearing about it, and I think I've told you about it, and we made jokes on what it could be, or I'm like, I wonder if they are allowed to show the ending of the war or something like that. So I finally got a chance to do it. My sister and her husband just moved down to Georgia with my sister's son, and they figured it'd be a nice thing to kind of show the kids tonight because they have a bunch of different activities.
So really the whole family's down there now, huh?
Yeah.
Interesting.
But, but they got a skyline up to the top of the mountain. They got a railroad that goes around the mountain. They got small little kiddie rides and stuff to climb up and stuff like that. Funnel cake. So they have a whole event there, and they also have like all historical stuff, like trails and plantations and all the stuff of like Southern history. And so we sat down and watched it, and it was a kind of a good show. They had, they did like a laser light show right off the mountain. They were able to do things where they kind of project on the mountain. They almost make like a cartoon behind the carvings. And then they are able to kind of make it come to life of some sorts. Like a it'll make it show like the rocks are falling off the mountains, and then it turns into them on their horses, and then they go back to the laser show where they're, you know, riding on their horses.
Interesting.
Like, they have a specific spot. Now, they change the show up.
Okay.
Like, when it started, it was like a story of a kid who went to a comic book or a bookstore, and he'd pick up a book, and he would dive into the book, and then they have adventures, like, there.
Right.
So, like, the first one would be... they did like a Star Wars thing, but it's weird. They don't have the rights to Star Wars, but they do just enough where it's like, ooh, if somebody from Disney's here, you're probably losing money,
like,
kind of
deals.
It's
like Dark Vader.
it'd be like, they call it Drone Wars. And then there'd be drawings, you know, laser figures where it's like, all right, that kind of looks like Luke, but I could see how you could pull it off. But then they would do stuff like the one that would be Chewbacca. They would have the actual Chewbacca sound on there. I'm like, no, that has to be copyrighted. There's no way that was out there for use. And
this guy's name is Lucas Airwalker. Lucas Airwalker.
Use the forcing. And then it would go into like a nerd thing where it'd be like, Georgia sports, so it'd be just seeing a kid holding a bat and hitting a ball, and all of a sudden it's like Braves, and then Hawks, and the Atlanta Dream, and just like throwing every sports team out there.
Okay.
But then there's a part where they actually kind of do a laser show of the Civil War. and kind of, like I said, so you take the carvings, and then they kind of have like an animation behind it to make it look like they start moving. And then they kind of made the war look like, you know, the South is charging to face their rival. And then it looks like they're doomed. And there's a scene where like General Lee, like, literally takes his sword and busts it over his knee. And he civilly goes up to, I guess it would be Grant, to do a handshake to end the war or something like that. So it was like a quick two-minute thing. and then it turned around into, yet again, like, he jumped into a comic book. And then it's like, oh, it's the Bronze Man.
They're like, never mind that slavery. Here's more Darth Vader. Yeah. And then Civil War ended. Like, oh, but isn't Chewie entertaining?
On, like, changing things up, and all of a sudden, like, fireworks would be going off, and then they'd shoot smoke in the air, and then they would put, like, they'd be showing a movie on the smoke. It was like an acid trip there for a minute. No, I mean, it was cool as hell.
I just pictured...
in the end, we were like, wow, that was pretty cool. And me and Izzy are in the car, and we're like, oh, man, it wasn't as bad as we thought it could be.
Right.
And then, like, the next day, I was talking to locals, and they're like, yeah, it was way different. The certain locals made us change it.
I'm just picturing them like getting to the end of the Civil War and then just distracting you with every other thing, like Star Wars and fireworks and like and then like just speeding up the tape really quick. And then the Civil War in general, like the Micro Machines guy.
Oh, and at one point, the Dukes of Hazzard car was on the mountain, by the way. A laser General Lee.
Of course there was. Of course it was. Now,
made my night.
Now, did the audience take off their robes to watch the show, or did they keep them on the whole time?
I mean, it was pretty crowded. It was at night. Maybe somebody was wearing, like, a bathrobe. You know, man, it'd be weird to be in a park all cozy like that, but I guess... that's clothing.
Yeah, yeah. So all those white robes, they were just getting comfortable, is what you're saying.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. I mean, these guys seem nice. They're just cold.
Yeah. there they had fire displays, but nothing involving something burning.
Oh, good.
At any point.
Oh, good. So did you feel weird at any point? Like, like,
no, I went into, like, I was ready for way worse going into that one. I was, I'd be ready, like, oh God.
They, man, I can't believe they took the laser slave out.
Oh my. I was well, I was waiting for it. I was, because all you hear when you see Confederate laser show, it's like, all right, dude, how on earth can this be real? But yeah, it's a good show, but apparently it was different.
I'm sure you gotta dive deep into this and like try to find someone who could tell you exactly what was different and report back to us, like what the old laser show.
I think I'm going to Google Stone Mountain 2008 laser light show to see what kind of result I get.
I just a bunch of racists protesting outside, like, it ain't the old laser show. Like, we ain't watching that. We ain't watching that liberal.
That's not my grandpappy's laser show. I tell you that much.
Might as well call it Liberal Mountain Laser Show. I ain't watching that.
How can I enjoy 100-foot General Lee cut into a mountain without my regular laser show?
Well, I'm glad you went to the Confederate laser show, which would be a great concept for a bit if you ever step back on stage. That's a pretty funny, just the name Confederate laser show is, there's endless thoughts that it brings you, like, what the hell could this be?
My only issue is I would have to do an open mic down here, and I would probably piss off both sides of the argument in that scenario.
Well, that makes good comedy, Mike. You can.
That's right. We discussed this earlier. I forgot. Sorry about that.
Well, that's pretty hard to top. But real quick before we go, I wanted to see. Okay, let me give the background here. So the other night we were at a friend's house in the neighborhood. We just started talking about movies and whatnot, and somehow the Disney movies, Pixar movies got brought up, and someone said, yeah, have you ever heard the theory that all the Pixar movies are linked somehow, like, or whatever, right? Mm-hmm. And I'm like, there's no way. Like, maybe now they try to link them, but I said initially there's no way they could have thought of, like, way down the line what would get approved and whatnot. I said there's no way, but I said you can take, so of course, you know, we were having a couple beers, right? And it was, I said you can take any two movies and find a link between them, like, you know. And and it was funny because we started playing this game where we would give, each person would give a movie, and you had to try to kind of find a link between them and how the movies could be related, or maybe one was a prequel to another one, and you say what happened to a character and whatnot. So, Mike, I thought I would try it on you.
Okay. my improv game on?
Yeah. So, for example, like we were naming movies, like, like, you would name completely different genres and try to figure them out. Like, I think one time we had Goodfellas and, like, The Little Mermaid or something like that. And I somehow linked Prince Eric, you know, to Henry Hill's character, and that Henry Hill was actually Prince Eric. And he needed...
Well, that's how the mob were. Those were the two families that fought each other.
Exactly.
The Godfather, you know, he took care of the streets, but he knew there was another territory out there, and it was the waters. and Ariel and their whole kingdom, you know, they ruled the land for years, but, you know, they get pretty pissed off because, you know, these mobsters, they would throw their snitches down on there with cement shoes, and they'd be like, hey, don't bring your business down to our territory.
And Ursula really was just one of those very overweight, like, Italian grandmas that was down there. And she was cooking squid and octopus on that seven.
They call it sauce.
But remember, you know how the Italians do the seven seafoods? So she was cooking down there, and some freak accident happened. And all of a sudden, she was a half octopus woman. Poor unfortunate soul, if you will.
True.
So I took three Disney movies, Mike, and three regular movies, I guess you can call them.
Okay.
I want to see what you can come up with, because I really think if you think deep enough, you can come up with a link. All right. So here we go. Your Disney movie is Toy Story. Okay.
All right.
And your regular movie is Forrest Gump.
Oh, well, I mean,
easy, right?
Clearly, I mean, as you're aware, like Forrest, he grew up down south, and he you could tell he was a special child, and he didn't have friends.
No, no friends.
Most of his life,
none.
So he would have to make up friends on his own.
Mm-hmm.
So what happened was his mama couldn't afford, you know, those big fancy toys.
Not
that you saw
all.
They were very poor family, but he would be in his room just talking to the people that would his mom would rent out her house to. And he would tell this gentleman about all his imaginary friends that he had, and he would speak about how they would just, you know, when he would leave the room, they'd be going around and playing and, you know, come to life and have these adventures, and they would be centered around him. Little did we know that Forrest Gump was talking to the grandfather of Andy.
Wow.
And he built all those toys specifically for Andy to have his adventures and have the same magic that his friend Forrest had.
Nice, nice. It's funny you say that, because I used this example because this was the first one we did. And I think somewhere along the way, I said that Andy was actually Forrest. You know, Forrest was Andy just growing up a little bit. You know, but so good. See, so you get the game. So you get the solid story. All right. So that was your gimme one. Then we're going to step it up a notch for number two. All right.
Okay.
All right. So your Disney movie, if you will, or Pixar movie, is The Incredibles. The Incredibles. And your normal movie, if you will, is Halloween.
Ah, yes, yes.
You know the link between these, right?
Of course.
Who doesn't, really?
Yeah. It's very interesting, and it almost ties back to a concept that you kind of see in the Batman films, where they say these people wouldn't be villains if we didn't have a hero like Batman.
Okay.
And that's what's happening here.
Right.
So what happened was the Incredibles, they were on this adventure to try to save this local neighborhood down in Haddonfield. And they would find what they perceived was this evil kind of monster and all. But it's not who you think it is. This is somebody totally different that we haven't heard about.
Okay.
Yeah, it would be it's basically these huge kind of bullies and all that have like these special powers. And they have mental powers, so they can talk to each other without saying a word out loud. And the Incredibles came in because they were worried they were going to take over Haddonfield and all because of all their incredible abilities.
Right.
So when they stopped them, they thought they saved the day. Little did they know that these people were actually protectors of certain people.
Okay.
That all the Incredibles saw were them going into this house and beating up this family. Little did they know that family was tormenting this little child, like literally abusing him mentally, physically, putting cigarettes out on him. And the sad thing was they were his family. And when they got rid of these people, this little boy named Michael said, I have to take things into my own hands. And as an homage to these special beings, he never said a word after he became the ghost.
So he just never mentions the Incredibles. It was a silent pact that he made to himself.
Yes. he took it out on his family. Then they imprisoned him, and he just thought, all I was doing was defending myself. I hate the world, and he became the enemy.
See,
that they
designed. See, I had heard a different link between the movies, but
okay.
I heard that.
Why don't you share yours?
I heard that Jack kid, you know, mm-hmm. the little one, was kind of demented, kind of strange, and he started going off the rails, and one day slowly became Mike Myers. But I don't know. That's just what I heard along the way. I don't know.
Yeah, but why did he give up his power of speed to slowly walk and stalk?
See, but here's the thing, because his powers are never really, like, defined. Like, he would always do weird things, and as he grew through puberty, his powers started to, you know, I guess get concentrated, if you will, started to focus more. You know, he was big one time, could shoot fire another time, but, you know, it started to narrow down to where he just had super killing ability. You know, and it was controlled a lot by his emotions, much like turning to the dark side was. And he, you know, bad influences turned into him becoming this deviant murderer wearing a mask, obviously. So his he had superhero background. So he just was used to wearing masks, but also so that his family couldn't. It was a shame for him. He's really hiding from his super family, and just called all sorts of problems.
All right, intriguing.
Last one I'm really intrigued by. Okay, this is the coup de grace, if you will. All right, So you got the Little Mermaid, which we mentioned earlier, Little Mermaid, mm-hmm. and recent very successful movie Bohemian Rhapsody, The Little Mermaid. And Bohemian Rhapsody.
Interesting.
Yeah. You know the link. Yeah. I mean, most people don't, but I'm sure you know it.
Yeah, yes. As everybody knows, Little Mermaid came before Bohemian Rhapsody.
Really?
See, so what happened prequel. Was... Yeah. Little Mermaid happened first. See, what happened was, as you know... The prince of Little Mermaid was in England.
Right.
That's where they lived.
Right.
So now everybody kind of sees the movie and just figures that Ariel was the one of the family that came up to the surface. But kind of a in between Little Mermaid and Bohemian Rhapsody, other members of the mermaid family came up with her. So they had their legs, and they grew, and they were able to bring back their singing abilities. Now, unfortunately, Ariel was the only one who broke the curse where her life can stay above sea.
Okay.
All the others only had a temporary basis to be up on land.
So they had to go back down.
So her cousin was up on land trying to make a career. And unfortunately, as time was taking down, he was noticing his legs were starting to turn scaly.
Really?
His legs were coming together.
So they
and
were...
he realized he was going to become a fin.
So
he had to give up his dream of singing and run back to the ocean. Little did we know, that was the same night that Queen went into the parking lot and said, the band is over, we have no singer, and Freddie Mercury showed off his pipes.
Wow. So, like, every morning he would wake up and his thighs were a little stickier to get, like, harder to separate his legs every morning. Yeah, yeah. Interesting. I had heard that Ariel and Freddie both went to the same, like, vocal coach, but both very good singers. But, I mean, it's really cool to know that there's a link between pretty much every Disney movie and everything on Earth, apparently.
Just ask my wife. She'll come up with something.
Well,
believe me, I'll be like, do we have any cucumbers? And she's like, oh, that reminds me, we got to go to Disney.
Well, guys, I hope you enjoyed that. This is a game you can play with your friends. You could pick movies out of a hat. Person's got to find a link between them. It's a good discussion piece, if you will.
If you're waiting for a Confederate laser show, it's the perfect way to pass time.
Yeah. Yeah. In fact, I heard Disney will be putting out their new movie, Confederate Laser Show, later this spring.
Yeah. That kid from Up grew up to be a very odd person.
Yeah.
So.
Well, Berlo, it's come. It's that time. It was a good episode tonight. Very fun episode. Touched on a lot of things. Again, the potpourri of podcast continues. We went from peppers to talking about comedy to talking about you beating up different food mascots, and then we ended on some I don't even know what you call that. Some linking movies, I guess, if you will. We could always play that again down the line. But anything to promote before we go?
I guess just this entire month, I'll just promote my page, Michael Berlo Random Stuff on Facebook or facebook.com/TheBurl721. At the time we're recording it, tomorrow October starts. But by now, as you're hearing this, you will see I have already attempted the pumpkin spice spam and see what kind of magical flavors we have there. Me and my wife, Izzy, we'll do 31 days of trying out different pumpkin spice stuff, and we throw in a couple games and some interesting facts and so forth. Check it out. We have a lot of fun. It's Michael Berlo Random Stuff on Facebook or facebook.com/TheBurls721.
All right. And by the time this comes out, so this weekend, the weekend coming up, I got a fun comedy show. I don't promote too many comedy shows other than Verbal Shenanigans shows, but I am on a cool show. I'm featuring for the one and only Jackie the Joke Man Martling over in Wisecrackers in Allentown, Pennsylvania. It's a special event. Obviously, Jackie the Joke Man's been around for a long time, well-known name from the Howard Stern Show, and he's been a comic for as long as I know comedy, he's been around. I know he does things live where, like, he can pick out punch, like, he has a stump the joke man segment where you just, like, tell a joke and he can, like, pick out all the punchlines well before, and if you can stump him, you, like, get something. But so I'm very much looking forward to that. It's a great club, Wisecrackers in Allentown, Pennsylvania. I will be there. Get your tickets. It should be a fun time, man. I'm very much looking forward to it.
You're getting closer and closer to Stern. I mean, we just had Reverend Bob Levy on here. You performed with him. Now you're doing Jack and Joke Man.
Yeah.
I mean,
we're working with some good people, man. And I get to talk to you every week. That's
better than Stern.
That's bigger than the Confederate Laser Show, man.
Nobody's bigger than the Confederate Laser Show, my friend. Nobody.
That's who we got to get on. The guys who. who are in charge of the Confederate Laser Show. But I guess that's it, guys. Tune in weekly. The best thing you can do for us, if you did dig what you heard tonight, is leave a review on iTunes and share our podcast. That's obviously the most important one. And comment. If you comment and tell us you like it, it really helps. And then reach out to us. If you can follow us, I'm going to also promote our Instagram. Follow us on Instagram. We're at 900 followers. I want to get to that 1,000 mark, man. I want to get to that 1,000 mark in the next month or so. So go check it out. Go check out our back catalog. And that's it. Life is funny. Laugh at it. Keep the wind at your back. Peace out, Cub Scout.